Well, this is a joint work with Gregory Randall and Guillermo Sapiro. And in manifold learning, the dimensionality reduction techniques try to represent points in a high-dimensional space with less parameters in a lower dimensional space in such a way that some properties, like for example Euclidean distances or geodesic distances, are preserved in the low dimensional space. But this works if all the points in our data set live in the same manifold. But if we have, for example, like in the figure here on the left, points living in a three-dimensional space, but they are samples of a one-dimensional manifold of an spiral. Other ones are samples of a plane, and other ones are a three-dimensional point cloud. If we try to represent all these points in a lower dimensional space, maintaining some property, it won't work. First, we'll have to cluster, like here, according to the dimensionality, or separate points from different manifolds. So that's our goal, detect different complexities or dimensionalities in the data set, and at the same time, estimate the dimension and the density of every different cluster in the data set. So the outline of my presentation is this one. First, I'm going to talk about the previous work on dimension estimation. Then I'm going to explain a local dimension estimator, which is the base of our proposed approach. And then I'm going to explain our approach, which is the PMM, the Poisson Mixture Model. I will show some experiments, and then I will explain how
What was the set of the first M, posterior PMM, what you say?
Poisson, a mixture model.
Ah, Poisson.
Yeah. And after that, I will explain how we extend this method in order to introduce regularization or spatial constraints or other kind of constraints. Then I will show some experiments of this regularized version, and I will finish with conclusions. So the previous works in dimension estimation can be classified into two big groups. The first one is the projection methods. These are methods which are based on the, again, the composition of a matrix. We have here, for example, the global or local PCA, the isomap, multidimensional scaling. And then we have the geometric methods, which are methods that are based on some geometric intrinsic property of the manifold. And most of the times, they are based on nearest neighbor distances. And here, there is the correlation dimension method, the capacity dimension, and packing numbers, and also the geodesic entropy graphs of Costa and Hero. And more recently, we find some works that do clustering according to dimensionality, as we are going to explain. So the Levine and Michels approach is a geometric and probabilistic method to estimate the local intrinsic dimension in a point cloud, and it is based on the following idea. So if we sample the manifold with n points, and we look at the points that fall inside a ball of radius r around a point x, in red here, so if we have k points which fall inside this ball, the proportion of points, k over n, is the density f, which is assumed constant inside the sphere because the radius is not very large. So the proportion of points is the density times the volume of the sphere of radius r in dimension n. The volume of the sphere is expressed as the volume of the unit sphere in dimension n times the radius of the sphere to the m, where m is the intrinsic dimension. So
what's f?
F is the density, the local density, which is assumed constant inside the ball.
So that's some given function in your sample?
Yeah, well, here,
I mean,
here
is
a
so
in every ball is a scalar, it's a constant value. It's a function of x.
So for that particular picture, what's happening? What's
for this?
Yes.
So this is x, the center of the ball, and
uh-huh.
f of x will be a constant value for
okay.
for all this ball. And it will be different for every point. And so the observable event is n, which is the number of points which fall inside the ball. And this is a binomial process, but some approximations can be done. For example, this approximation that if n, the total number of points is large, and k is also large, but k over n is small, then this process can be approximated by a Poisson process. And also, yes, as I have said, we consider that the density is constant if the radius of the sphere is small. So the rate lambda of the counting process is this one here, which is the previous expression taking derivative with respect to r, with respect to the radius of the ball. So once we have the probabilistic model, we can write the log likelihood of the process, and taking derivatives, we compute the maximum likelihood estimators, and we arrive to a closed expression for the dimension and for the density. For the dimension, the estimator depends on the Euclidean distances of all the points which fall inside the ball, but it will be more convenient computationally to compute the k-nearest neighbor with a k-nearest neighbor graph. So the expression for dimension considering the k-nearest neighbors is the following one, where r sub j is the Euclidean distance to the j-nearest neighbor. And this log likelihood is for the counting process in every ball. So we obtain the dimension m and the density theta for each one of the points x of our point cloud data. So we'll have a local dimension for every point, and the authors, if we know that all the points are samples of the same manifold, propose to take average over all the local dimensions. But this is not correct if we have different manifolds in our data set. So in this case, it will be better to first clustering according to the dimensionality, and then taking averages of the dimension in every cluster. And another possibility is to simultaneously clustering and estimating the dimension, and that's what we propose. And for that, if we want to model all the possible balls at the same time, and we have different manifolds, so we have different dimensionalities in the data, we can model the observations with a Poisson mixer model, where we consider capital J different mixer components, and each one of the mixer or classes has a different dimensionality and density. So we have the vector of parameter psi, which is pi j is the mixer coefficient for class j, that is the proportion of class j in the whole mixer. Then theta j is the density parameter. We express the density f as the exponential to the theta. And then mj is the dimension in class j. So another time, the observable event is the number of points falling inside each possible ball in the data set. And the density function for a single observation will be the weighted average of the density functions considering each one of the possible experts or classes. Yeah.
So do you know capital J a priori?
Yeah, it's something that we choose. It's a
you choose.
An input of the
okay.
So we call capital Y the observation sequence, and YT is the number of points which fall inside the ball centered at point X T.
Could you back up one slide, please?
Sorry.
What's pi J?
Pi J is the proportion of class J in the mixture.
Just the ratio number of points in class J over the total number?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, if we consider that the observations are statistically independent, then the complete data density is the product of the individual densities. And also, we consider here C, which is the hidden state information, where C sub T means equal to Cj means that that the J mixture generates the observation T. So in order to represent this, we are going to choose indicator variables. Delta Tj is equal to 1 if observation T is generated by mixture J and 0 otherwise. So with these membership functions, we can write the complete data log likelihood like this. And usually, problems involving a mixture of experts are solved with an expectation maximization algorithm, where in the first step in the expectation, every point is assigned to the class which it best fits to. And then in the following step, in the maximization step, we maximize the log likelihood and we compute the parameters of fabric class. So here is the basic lines of the algorithm. We require the point cloud data, J the number of classes, and K the number of nearest neighbors. Then we initialize the parameters, and we start the EM iterations for each class. In the expectation step, we compute the expectance of the membership functions. And since these membership functions are indicator variables, the expectance is the probability that delta Tj equals to 1. And with these probabilities, so we write the log likelihood, we write the expectance of the log likelihood with respect to C, to the hidden variables, we call it K. So we maximize K with respect to the parameters psi, and we impose the additional constraint that all the probabilities of each class sum up to 1. And with this maximization, for each iteration, we obtain a closed expression for the dimension and the density. So since we compute here the probabilities for each point of belonging to each of the possible classes, we obtain a soft clustering.
Do you know that it converges?
It converges, but to a local maximum. In every iteration, we have that the probability of mixture J is the average of the probabilities for each point of belonging to the class J. And for the dimension and the density, we have expressed them as a function of the local dimension and density estimator of Levine and Bickets. And it turns out that dimension and density in each class is the inverse of the average, of a weighted average of the inverse. That is a weighted harmonic mean, and where the weights, H, are the probabilities for each point of belonging to each of the possible classes. And Levina and Mikkels studied the asymptotic behavior of the estimator, and if they divide by k minus 2 instead of k minus 1, they find that the estimator is unbiased. And the variance is proportional to the square of the intrinsic dimension and inversely proportional to the number of nearest neighbors considered. And if we do the same kind of analysis, we find that the estimator Okay, in the class of hard clustering, where we assign each point to the class whose probability is the largest, we obtain that the dimension is a little bit biased, but this bias is reduced if we increase the number of nearest neighbors, okay, and if we have many points which belong to this class J. And the variance another time is proportional to the square of the dimension and inversely proportional to the number of nearest neighbors and also to the number of points in each class. And here we have some experiments with synthetic data. We have points which live in a three-dimensional space, and 700 of the points are samples of a Swiss roll, and another 700 of the points are samples of a line. And here on the left, we have choose two classes, and we have a very good classification. And on the other case, we choose three classes. And
so what would the three classes be on?
Three different mixers, different Poisson distributions.
Okay.
So we obtain that a third class here in red is very represented, and they are points located at the edges where the hypothesis of constant density is not valid. Here we have quantitative results of these experiments. For the first one, and where we choose two different classes, 100% of points of the line belong to a class of dimension 1, and 100% of the points of the Swiss rolls to a class of dimension 2. And here, when we choose three classes, the third class is represented only in a 2%, and only 3% of points of the Swiss rolls belong to this class. But the dimension is still close to 2, which is the actual dimension. And the same experiment, but in this case we add some noise, Gaussian noise of standard deviation 0.6. The classification is still good, but we have more errors now. And another time, when we choose three classes, we have points located at the edges, which are considered as a third class. And in this case, the dimensions, the estimated dimensions increase. We have for the Swiss roll a dimension 2.4, and for the line a dimension 3. And this is because for the same number of neighbors in the line, we are considering a ball of a smaller radius. So the scale of observation in the line is smaller, and it sees as a three-dimensional point cloud. And here, this example is just to illustrate that we are not only clustering according to dimensionality, but also according to density. We have a Swiss roll and a line with two different densities. This is the classification in different colors. So here we set four classes, and we obtain a class of dimension 2 where 99% of the points of the Swiss rolls belong to this class. Then we have two classes of dimension 1 with different density, and the points of the line are classified as these two classes. And then we obtain an empty class. So even if the number of classes is a parameter, in some way we are inferring the number of necessary classes. And here an example with real data. We have taken digits 1 and 2 of a handwritten database, handwritten digits database. The images are, I think, 28 by 28, so it's a 784 dimensional space. And if we set two different classes, we are able to separate digits 1 and digits 2 according to dimensionality, because they have a different dimension. And if we analyze, so we obtain the dimension for each class and a classification, so we are able to separate digits, these digits. And but anyway, we know which digits are digits 1 and which ones are digits 2. So if we analyze digits 1 by separate with the Levine and Michels technique, we obtain a dimension which is different to the one we obtain if we analyze digits two separate. And this happens also with the cost and hero technique. But in both methods, if we have the mixture of digits one and two, the dimension that we obtain is a dimension in between the two actual dimensions. So these methods only work if all the points belong to a single manifold. And here, an example is just a proof of concept. We take patches of 3x3 in the image, so we have nine-dimensional points. And if we set three classes, we obtain that roughly the class in blue is related to the homogeneous patches in both images. Then the class in red to patches is related to patches where we have an edge, some kind of edge. And then the classification in green is related to the texture patches. We are not claiming that this is a segmentation technique. Actually, there are better segmentation methods in image processing, but it's interesting because the classification has a meaning according to complexity or dimensionality of the patches. So, yeah, as I have said, the algorithm gives a classification according to dimension and density, but in some cases it will be interesting to introduce another kind of.
So, the point cloud generated in the previous slide was just the cubes, the 3x3 square.
Yeah, the gray values of the 3x3 patches. So, yeah, in some cases it will be interesting to introduce other kinds of constraints. For example, in the synthetic data, if we introduce a spatial regularity, we could solve the problems at the edges or also in the noisy cases. And for that, we express the log likelihood in the following way. It's formed by two different terms. The first term is the expectation of the complete data log likelihood with respect to the hidden variable C. And then we change delta by the expectance of delta, which is H, the H we were computing in the first step of the EM algorithm. And the second term is the entropy of the membership functions, delta. So, with this expression, the EM algorithm can be seen as an alternate optimization algorithm of the previous log likelihood. In the first step, we maximize the functional with respect to H, and we fix psi. And we introduce the additional constraint that all the probabilities H sum up to 1. And then in the second step, in the maximization step, is the maximization of the functional, fixing H and maximizing it with respect to psi, and also with an additional constraint for the other probabilities, for the probabilities of each class. So with this interpretation of the EM algorithm, Ambroise and Goaert proposed the neighborhood EM, where they introduced a spatial regularization term S. And then they try to they maximize the function f, which is the sum of these two terms, and then the alpha is the regularization parameter, which is the trade-off between the log likelihood and the regularization term. So following this same idea, we are going to propose a more general term S. For introducing different kinds of constraints. So we have the minus sign here, so we want to minimize this. D is a dissimilarity function of observation T and points, neighboring points, for example, or it could be also with respect to points points which belong to the same class J, and this is multiplied by the probability of observation T of belonging to class J. More concretely, we have proposed two different terms. In the first one, The first one, so this expression here means all the indices S, which are neighbors of T. And we want, for a specific neighborhood, as much as neighbors belonging to the same class J than the point T under observation. And we can define different neighborhoods. We can use the natural neighborhood, which is the k-nearest neighbors in the manifold. But we could use also, for example, in image processing applications, pixel neighborhoods. Or in video applications, we can use contiguous frames. So in that way, we use a temporal neighborhood. And the second, the similarity function, is the Euclidean distance of point T, which is the center of the ball, to the awayhead centroid of class J. This awayhead centroid is computed without considering a point XT, and the weights are the probabilities of each point of belonging to this class J. And as the new term only depends on age, on the probability of the membership functions, but not on the parameters of each class, the algorithm that we obtain is very similar to the previous one. It's an EM-type algorithm, where the only difference is written here in orange. We have to set the regularization parameter, which is an input, and then the only change is in the in the E step, in the step where we compute the probability of T of belonging to class J. Now, if the dissimilarity of point T to its neighbors or to the points belonging to the same class is small, then it will increase, the probability of belonging to this class will increase. So now, some examples. The first one, a synthetic example. We have an spiral and a plane. And if we use the previous approach, the Poisson-Mieser model, without any kind of regularization, we have some errors here because of the noise. This point is classified as the same class as the plane. And another time, we have misclassified points at the edges. And this is solved considering the two possibilities, the two regularized versions. The first one is considering the spatial neighborhood, and this one is considering intra-class compactness. And so now we consider the faces of the Yale phase database. This is a database of different subjects under different poses of the face and different illuminations. And in the first example, the one here on the left, we take all the possible images of subject 5, that is under different poses and different illuminations. And with respect to the images of subject 6, we only considering variation in illumination, but not in pose. So we are able to classify both subjects as different classes because they have different dimensions. Subject 5 has the dimension 4, but subject 6, since we are only considering variation in illumination, and it can be parametrized with three parameters, we classify it a second class with dimension 3, and the variation in pose is coded with an additional dimension. That is why we obtain here a dimension 4. And if we, in the second experiment, we have the mixture of the three subjects, the same as before for subject 5 and subject 6, where subject 6 we only consider variation illumination. We do the same for subject 7. We only consider variation in illumination, but not in pose. So we get that both of of them, subjects 6 and 7, are classified as a class of dimension 3, a smaller dimension than subject 5. And here, even if we increase the number of classes, we are not able to separate subject 6 from subject 7, because we are only classifying according to dimension and density. We cannot differentiate two different manifolds which have which have the same dimension. And here, example with activities in video. There's a person with a static background, and the first thing she's doing is walking, then she's jumping while advancing, then she's waving her hands, and here she's jumping in place. So if we set four classes to the algorithm, we obtain this confusion matrix, and notice that we have almost an empty class, and that the activities of walking and jumping while advancing are seen as having the same dimensionality or complexity by the method. And here on the right, we have the results for the regularized version. We have a better confusion matrix. And here we have considered a temporal neighborhood. The neighborhood are the 6 previous and 6 posterior frames. Yeah, here I haven't said that, but our points in the high dimensional space are the frames, are formed by the gradient values of each frame. So as a summary, we have proposed an algorithm to estimate and classify different dimensions and density. And it is we have introduced also a natural way to introduce different kinds of constraints, in particular spatial or temporal regularization, and have shown experiments with synthetic and real data. And as a future work, now we are working, we are introducing the presence of noise in the model, so in order to obtain a better estimation of the dimension. And we would like also to define a measure in order to be able to differentiate different manifolds of the same dimension. And finally, we would like to analyze neuroscience data to see if different activity states have a different complexity or dimensionality. And that's all. Thanks.